WCN 1340. Go Vols!
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to a Championship Wednesday edition of the show. I can feel it in my plums. In
Let
4 hours.
Watch.
In what? What's that?
Let the boy watch.
What's that from?
Eastbound and Down.
Let the boy watch.
4 hours, ladies and gentlemen. That's all that stands between us and the renewal of our sacred quest.
That's
we attempt once again to claim our birthright, folks. We didn't come here to win games. Anybody can do that. Anybody can win a few games. Here at Tennessee, we're in it to win championships. And that's what's at stake tonight. Let's have a day, boys. Let's do it.
Gotta be completely honest with you three.
Well, it's not an honest Friday, but sure, go ahead. Why not?
I'd completely forgotten about the game until he said that. Yeah. We've been talking about so much other stuff.
What have you been doing today? Like, I woke up, I could smell it in the air.
I just came in here and we started talking about other stuff.
What'd you do before that?
I've just been walking around in a daze all day long.
He did listen to the G.I. Jake show, so he only heard NBA talk for the first 2 hours of his morning.
Shots fired.
Wow.
Just saying.
Vols are a 5.5-point favorite.
Is their ship coming in, Russ? Go. Yes or no?
Yes.
Chris?
Yeah.
Tucker?
Yes.
According to the ESPN matchup predictor, Tennessee has a 78.5% chance to win tonight. I mean, it's right there in front of you. It's on the silver platter. It's there for the taking. All you have to do is reach out and claim it. I say all you have to do. South Carolina is a good team worthy of our respect. Tyler Head from 107.5 The Game in Columbia is going to join us here in about 20 minutes. I was on his show this morning, so we've already broken it down together. We'll do it again. I gave him our perspective. He'll give us his perspective coming up. Yes, we've spoken with Tyler before.
Did we talk to him before the infamous 22 trip to Columbia for that game?
No.
It was this year before the first South Carolina game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah.
I felt like he
Do you want you not want to talk to him? Is it bad mojo?
No. It's a revenge game. We get our revenge. I'm not gonna lie.
It did cross my mind.
Crossed my mind too.
But you also went on his program today, so you've already jinxed him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good thing.
Should we call up and cancel and just leave it alone?
I don't want to be rude.
I don't want to be rude either. But I don't want to lose more. I want to win.
Call him live. Do it over the air?
Yeah.
Hey,
sorry,
man.
Tyler.
No, we don't. He's not even.
Ghost him?
No. I mean, we'd send him a
message. He starts texting me like, new phone, who dis?
Call him for the interview? Just leave him on hold?
No, we'll talk to him, man. Like, that stuff doesn't matter. What is our conversation with another sports radio host? What impact could that possibly have on the game tonight?
Do you want to tempt? Do you want to tempt? You know, I don't know. I can't ever remember how it's worded.
What am I going to do? Call this guy and say, I'm sorry.
I don't know, but we're
superstitious and we can't talk to you?
Code red.
About a game that you had forgotten about until 5 minutes
ago?
Yeah.
I'm going to have an anxiety attack.
Calm down, bro. You got 4 hours. Chill.
And three of it are going to be on air.
In fairness, that is a big wave to get hit with all at once. Just a calm, do nothing Wednesday to, by the way,
we have,
SEC
had such
championship.
A pleasant afternoon here.
If you had been paying attention, you would have been building. I've sensed this coming for over a week now. I could feel
You've
this.
Been a little edgy. Like, you kept bringing it up, this game.
I've been a little edgy.
Wow. We have to. Do you think this is one of those games, like, we're going to learn a lot tonight? I feel like if they go in there.
Learn a lot? I mean, we know who we are. We know who they are. It's. I mean, I guess we could learn something. I don't know.
I mean, we haven't seen this particular bunt. I mean, we've never seen, you know, something's on the line tonight. Are they going to step up and take it? Or?
Well.
That win up here just, it's got me spooked.
Here's the thing, man. We shot 43s the other night at Alabama. How many three-pointers do you think we attempted against South Carolina last time here?
20.
21.
Okay.
We made five. We shot 23.8%, 24% from three-point range. If that happens again tonight, we ain't winning.
Mm-mm.
But I think we're going to attempt more than 23s. Now, some of that is pace of play. You know, that game was played at a much slower tempo than the game at Alabama was played. I would hope that we can find a way to force the issue a little bit and get it going a little bit tonight. Probably not going to score in the 90s this evening, but 70-ish. What did our friend Jordan Moore say yesterday? His analytics model had Tennessee winning 72-67, something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like if we get to 70, I feel pretty good.
I'm more concerned about our defense. I think that night we just had an off night. What did we shoot? I'd be really interested I don't think I really want to know what percentage we shot from like 6 feet in.
No, he said that. We were 9 of 19 from what they consider the dunk zone, which I think is 5 feet and in. You missed 10 bunnies.
Yeah.
You missed free throws, too. You didn't shoot particularly well from the line that night.
My biggest concern is defense, because they turned us every which way but loose, turned us inside out and had their way.
They moved the ball well.
I mean, they only scored 63 points. Like, we were just so bad that game. They had B.J. Mack, we all remember Mayshak guarding him just helplessly in the post in the last minute of that game. And Mack scored 16 points on 4 of 15 shooting. If he wants to go 4 of 15 tonight, I'll let him. I'll give him that right now.
What did he go from the line?
7 of 8.
Yeah.
So the other thing that hit me while I was thinking about this game this morning wasn't – this was the game – Pat Adams was one of the officials. I can see that in the – box score that I'm looking at. This was the game where early in the second half, he just went half-cocked and called three fouls in a row in like 10 seconds on us.
I remember that now, yeah.
It was that game.
Yeah.
And Barnes is over there doing, like, dude, what are we doing?
I think that we play – I was stunned at Alabama because this team, whenever they have Pat Adams, and once that starts, I mean, that's got to get in your head. If you're those guys, it affects how you're able
to play.
That was a turning point.
I mean, it was a close game pretty much all the way through. I mean, they were more or less in control of the game, I would say. But when that happened, yeah, it didn't kill any chance, but it sucked the life out of the place. It sucked it sucked watching it on TV. It just totally threw off the motion. When will we know the officials tonight?
Soon. I will look up that information as soon as I can get it, yes.
What time does the StatCast open?
It may be different for South Carolina. Usually it's closer to tip-off if it's Tennessee, but we may know it earlier today than we did a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Houston's barking today.
I'm just curious. I know that he has the login. You can't just go and get on the website. You got to have special credentials. Tucker has them. He's our liaison to the StatCast.
He's our liaison to all things official media, right? He's our Big J journalist.
Yeah, that's not me.
He's the guy on the scene with the quarter zip on, looking professional, asking the hard-hitting questions, but not too hard-hitting, so as to mess with our access.
You don't want to be under the radar or really on the radar. You want to be around the radar.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah. I don't even.
No, I got it. That's the recipe, boys.
We are the premier team in the conference, year in and year out.
Who?
Tennessee.
Oh, that, in basketball?
Hell yeah. Most consistent.
I guess so, man. Alabama has won the most games in SEC play since 2019 when Nate Oates took over there. But, yeah, we have been certainly one of the premier programs. And
ain't made a Final Four either.
Chance to claim a championship tonight would be the second of the Rick Barnes era. But before we could do that, we have to talk, ladies and gentlemen, about what happened yesterday at Lindsey Nelson Stadium as Tennessee won its 11th in a row, 15-5 over Kansas State, and it was largely due to the exploits of one Old Curly.
Before I get into this, A, it's kind of long, so I'll try to trim it. This is AI's version of a 1940s Dean Curley article.
Okay.
So there's some phrases.
So you combine the oldest technology with the newest technology,
yes,
for this segment.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
Well, hot dog, last night. Yeah. That's why you had to preface it in the lead off.
I think I worked.
Last night, that Tennessee boy, Dean the Dream Curley, also known as Old Curley, put on a real barn burner of a show at the old ball game. The Tennessee Volunteers took on the Kansas State Wildcats, and boy, did Dean make them look like a bunch of scaredy cats. In the third inning, with the bases loaded, Dean stepped to the plate, and wham! He had a grand slam that sailed over the left field fence like a homesick angel.
What?
Have you heard that before?
No.
I haven't either. The crowd went wild, and you could hear cheers all the way to the Smoky Mountains. But Dean wasn't done yet. No, sir. In the fourth inning, he came up at bat again and sent another one over the fence, this time with a couple of runners on base.
Yeah.
The Tennessee faithful were hooting and hollering like there was no tomorrow. As if that wasn't enough, in the sixth inning, old Dean did it again. He smashed a two-run homer that had Kansas State players scratching their heads and wonder if they should have stayed home to milk the cows.
Probably should have.
Don't know what that means again.
More fun for them.
By the end of the night, old Curley had hit three home runs and led the Volunteers to a convincing victory over the Wildcats. It was a night that folks in Tennessee will be talking about for years to come, and you can bet your bottom dollar that Dean's name will be on the lips of every sports fan from Memphis to Mountain City. Attaboy, old Curley.
That's fantastic. Tremendous work from you, Chris. Man.
You know, he kind of has exploded since we took notice of the fact that we have a player named Dean Curley.
So this time last year, this kid was...
He was a high school player.
He was figuring out who he was going to ask to prom.
Trying to get with little Susie back in... I mean, he was just trying to get to
second base.
We got
him for 3 years.
Now he's hitting grand slams.
Okay. Let's see.
Be careful.
He was a top 130 player, though. 129 overall, 33rd best shortstop in the country.
He seems to really see the ball very well as a batter.
Well, the thing that's interesting about this is he was like maybe our third choice coming into the season. This Antigua guy, Tony loves him.
Yeah,
Ariel Antigua is a future pro as well. And then we've got the Abernathy kid coming in next year. So we've got a little bit of a logjam going on. Now, of course, we're going to lose. There could be room for all three of those players once you lose Simo and Billy Barrels. So you could, you know, move Curley. I've heard, you know, he's got a cannon. So maybe he goes to third, Antigua plays short, and Abernathy comes and plays second, some combination of that. But for right now, Dean Curley has kind of laid claim to that spot.
We've said it a few times, and Tony said it. I mean, if you talk baseball enough, like sometimes there's just a guy that you can't keep him out of the lineup. And now, they threw their ace last night. And we got down too early, and then we put on a home run derby for those guys. Like, they battled through a little bit of adversity, and Dean Curley just
I'm trying to think of who else has come in.
He was 6 feet from the home run cycle.
Oh, it was so close.
I know. That's
I thought insane. It was gone.
I'm sitting here trying to think of some other freshmen, regardless of sport. Ziegler.
I saw this.
You couldn't keep him off the floor.
Is he the third freshman in, like, SEC history to hit three home runs in a game? He's up there with
Dude,
some.
He's almost entered his name in granted, it is college against, you know. Early
he joined that
play.
Home run club with Rusty Enzer and Evan Russell.
Mm-hmm.
He's already in there.
Hanging out with Rusty and Evan, huh?
Old Curly.
He's unbelievable year. Do you guys think it takes a little bit of pressure off of because I'll tell you who looks really good to me is Burke. It just looks a lot better.
I think it has to. For those guys where coming into the season, you're expected to do it. You just have some time to find your groove when you got a guy behind you that's pumping.
Blake Burke is pumping right now, and he had another big game. And there was an interesting incident, evidently, during the game that Tony talked about afterwards. We'll hear Tony Vitello describe to you what motivated Burke, evidently from our own fans. Which one of you was trash-talking Blake Burke at Lindsey Nelson? I mean, what are the chances it's a fan-run listener? You got to be honest. Pretty high, right?
It very well is probably a caller.
I want to say I saw an apology somewhere earlier today on Twitter. I'll take a look.
All right. We will get to the bottom of this before the end of the program today. When we continue, Tyler Head, host of The Extra Point on 107.5 The Game in Columbia, joins the festivities to give us the Gamecock perspective of the championship tilt tonight at Colonial Life Arena, Tennessee, South Carolina. We go inside next with Tyler Head right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell, Bear, Houston, and Tucker back with you on a Wednesday afternoon edition of the show. I'm pleased to be joined by the host of The Extra Point on 107.5 The Game in Columbia, Tyler Head, joining us this afternoon on the program. Hello, Tyler. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Appreciate it. We got the call sign for the station right this
Yeah, we call that progress in my book, Tyler. We talked to you last time, and it was at that point in time, South Carolina, they had a nice start to the season. But I don't think anybody really believed that they were going to be a long-term factor in the SEC championship race. They were unranked at the time, and they had, you know, at that, I remember the storyline then was they were using that as motivation, playing the old Rodney Dangerfield no respect card. Well,
sure.
Here we are the last week of the season. All that has changed. They are firmly ranked in the top 25. They are playing for the SEC championship. I would imagine that all of that equates to a big game atmosphere at Colonial Life Arena tonight.
Well, let me tell you, the energy is certainly palpable here in the city of Columbia. We were talking about it on our shows earlier today. I really can't think of a game that's had more importance in Carolina's time playing at Colonial Life Arena. It's been around since 2002, and, you know, they had an upset at Kentucky back in 2010, but that's not one that you go into with the same level of expectation like you do tonight. So everybody's very excited, and you do bring up a good point. You know, this team wasn't thought of as much before the season, picked to finish at the bottom of the SEC, and even going back to the game they played in Knoxville at the end of January, when I talked to you guys, there was a lot of apprehension because you looked at them at that point in time. They were 5-2 in conference play, had just beaten Missouri. They had beaten Kentucky the week before at home and stormed the court and all that kind of stuff, which was great. But, you know, that was something they did a season ago up in Rupp Arena. So it's like, okay, well, that's not necessarily an indication of how good this team's going to be. But going on the road and not only winning against Tennessee in Knoxville in January, but controlling the games the way that they did and being able to limit everybody besides Dalton Kennett, who they figured was going to get his points regardless, really showed what the identity of this team was going to be, was hard-nosed, aggressive defense, and they've hung their hat on that the entire season, and minus the two-game blip against Auburn and LSU, have been pretty lights out since then.
Kind of reminds me of the turnaround Tennessee saw under Rick Barnes about 6 years ago, where they were a 500-type team his first 2 years, and then they were picked coming into year three to finish 13th in the SEC. Nobody expected it, and Tennessee ends up winning the league, shared the title with Auburn, and that kind of seems to me, Tyler, the way South Carolina, as far as just coming out of nowhere, nobody really expected this. What has been the secret to Lamont Paris and his year two turnaround?
I think the secret goes back to experience. When we look at KenPom, South Carolina's 25th overall in D1 experience, and Lamont Paris basically rebuilt his starting five this past offseason. Michi Johnson's the only one that's starting this season that started a season ago, and even he was a transfer from 2 years ago coming in from Ohio State. So when you bring in all these new guys and new faces, you don't necessarily know how they're going to gel together. But I think Lamont Paris, and I credit the a couple games they played against Tennessee last year where they got their teeth absolutely kicked in and embarrassed in both those games. I think that really showed him what he needed to compete in the SEC, and he looked around his roster a season ago and realized he didn't have what he needed. So it goes out and gets a B.J. Mack that's played at Wofford, and goes out and gets a Talon Cooper that's been at Moorhead in Minnesota. Just guys that have played a lot of basketball. Some of it's not as much of a factor anymore, but Stephen Clark was a starter at the beginning of the season. He also had played a ton of basketball at the Citadel, just bringing in a lot of veteran experience in addition to a guy like Colin Murray Boyles, who was a very highly touted true freshman coming in, dealt with mono at the beginning of the season and took a while to really click into gear, but now he's playing at a super high level. Like, I just think it's bringing in these veterans and guys that have played a lot of basketball that's helped this team get up to speed really, really quickly.
Talk with Tyler Head, 107.5 The Game in Columbia this afternoon on Fan Run Radio. And, you know, Tyler, going back to the first matchup, Carolina won 63-59 on January the 30th. What did that win do just as far as belief, not only for South Carolina's basketball players, but the fan base as well?
Well, I think it legitimized what we've seen up to that point. As I mentioned the week before, they had taken down Kentucky, a team that, you know, very much plays a similar style of offense mm-hmm. to Tennessee, where they like to run up and down the court on you. So it's like, okay, you prove you can beat a team like that, but at the same time, Kentucky doesn't play that great of defense. I think everybody in the SEC knows that, where Tennessee is a team that, as good as they are on offense, will also grind you out on defense too. So to be able to go toe-to-toe with them, and I mentioned being able to lead that game, I believe they trailed in that game at all, if I'm remembering correctly. So not, it's not only winning the game, but winning the game the way that they did. And, you know, just kind of showing that you can go on the road in a place that, correct me if I'm wrong, nobody had won in quite a while up there in Thompson Bowling Arena. And show you can do that on the road, and then come back home and you know, handle teams the way they've been able to handle them, with the exception of LSU. I just think that instilled a lot of belief in showing that this team was going to do something special this year, and they've done that. And now we sit here with two games to go left in the regular season, firmly locked into the NCAA tournament. Regardless of what happens tonight, what happens on Saturday, or in the SEC tournament, South Carolina knows they're going to be playing meaningful basketball in March, which, again, is not something that they've done a whole lot of in their history, minus that one Final Four run back in 2017. I really think that Tennessee game at the end of January was just kind of the tipping off point for what's been a very magical season.
It's a low-scoring game, 63-59. That was obviously what South Carolina wanted to do in Knoxville. Do you see that being the Gamecock game plan again tonight, as far as trying to draw Tennessee into another rock fight, or has South Carolina sped things up any as the season has gone along?
I will say I was a little surprised with the quicker pace of play they played against Florida this past weekend. They had their best half of the entire year, scoring 51 points in the second half of that game, but their MO is still very much about slowing it down and grinding you out on defense. And a big key to every single game that South Carolina plays is getting off to a good start. And I mentioned they got off to that start against Tennessee in game number one and never really relinquished the lead after that. So if they can get off to a similar start tonight, then you have the ability to slow the game down and, again, kind of bring Tennessee into the mud. If Tennessee gets off to a 12-2 run to start this game, that's a different story, and that's where Lamont Paris might have to go into his bag of tricks a little bit, especially if they're still trailing in the second half.
Remember Miles Studi, the transfer from Vanderbilt, had some clutch free throws down the stretch to keep South Carolina out in front. I understand he has been injured. What is his status tonight?
Yeah, so he's been dealing with an ankle injury. Funny enough, in that game earlier on the season, that was his first game back after suffering a back injury against Georgia a couple of weeks before. And listening to Lamont Paris on his call-in show last night, he says he's going to give it a go. He didn't give us a percentage of how healthy he is exactly, but he's going to try and get out there in some capacity. And when I think back to, as you mentioned, his free throws towards the end of that game, how important he was, you know, to that victory. Also went 3 of 3 from 3. He's one of the best 3-point shooters on this team, and adds a different dynamic to this offense. Now, the good thing about this team, even when he's been out, you almost haven't noticed that he hasn't been there because other guys kind of picked up that slack. But if you can get him out there playing meaningful minutes tonight, that's only going to help out South Carolina's cause, in my opinion.
Tyler, is it true that the South Carolina students are on spring break this week, and do you expect that to have any impact on the atmosphere? Because that place has been rocking pretty much all season, both for women's and men's games.
They are on spring break this week. I think it kind of speaks volumes to where they thought this team was probably going to be at this point in the season, you know, beforehand. But every indication that I've gotten, it should be a rowdy and packed-out crowd tonight at Colonial Life Arena. I think plenty of students have decided to come back a few days early to not want to miss what, again, I think is legitimately the biggest game they've ever played in this arena.
Wow. And, you know, it's interesting, Tyler. I visited on your program earlier this morning, and we were talking about it, and just listening to you talk, there seems to be a confidence from the South Carolina side in this. There seems to be a confidence from the Tennessee side of this, and something's got to give. It's basketball. Last I checked, there are no ties. What do you think, man? I feel like this one is going to go down to the wire and come down to a coin flip type finish.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's blowing the other opponent out tonight by any means. I think it's going to go down to the wire, like you said. And, you know, I've admired what Tennessee's done, with the exception of that Texas A&M game. They've been pretty lights out in the game since losing to South Carolina. And, again, South Carolina's had its falters here and there. That blowout loss to Auburn certainly wasn't great. But, again, not many people go into Auburn and win on the road there. And then blowing that lead against LSU a couple weeks ago, and they had a 16-point lead in the second half. But this team's very confident. As I mentioned, I think that goes back to the veteran experience, just having a lot of guys that have been around basketball, been in a ton of different situations where they're not really fazed by anything. You know, they could lose tonight, they could win tonight, and regardless of whatever the outcome is, I think they'll be just as locked in come Saturday when they have to play Mississippi State. But definitely a big deal, definitely going to be a fun game, and hopefully an entertaining one for all 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. You know, Tennessee can clinch tonight. Obviously, they win, it's over. But if South Carolina wins, they still have to go on the road to Mississippi State, where, as Tennessee fans know, that is
a tough place to play.
You don't just waltz in there. Tennessee lost there this year. And, of course, Tennessee has to play Kentucky, which is always a huge rivalry game at Thompson Bowling. So might not necessarily be over. Tyler Head, 107.5, the game in Columbia. Before we let you go, your thoughts on Shane Beamer, football program obviously took, I guess it was a step back. The way they finished year two was with wins over Tennessee and Clemson, and then to come out this year and struggle a little bit. What are the expectations for the post-Spencer Rattler era of Gamecock football?
There's a lot of question marks. Obviously, one of the more exciting things is what they've been able to do in the transfer portal this offseason, namely getting a guy like Rocket Sanders to come in from Arkansas to lead your backfield. That was a big issue with this team a season ago, but you're going to be looking at starting most likely a redshirt freshman quarterback in Lenore Sellers this upcoming season, or turning over to Robbie Ashford, who transferred in out of Auburn. So a lot of question marks at the quarterback position. And with that, what exactly the offense is going to look like, because when Dow Loggins came in as the offensive coordinator, he made it a point to tailor-make that offense around Spencer Rattler and his skills and abilities. Now you have two quarterbacks competing for the starting job that are more of a run-first, RPO type of guy. And again, you have the complement of a guy like Rocket Sanders in the backfield. They're still trying to figure out who their top receivers are going to be. They grabbed a couple of guys out of the transfer portal, so a lot of interest there. And they've really loaded up with guys on defense as well, where I know the numbers overall last season don't reflect it, but they did play a lot better defensively in the month of November than they had in the prior 2 months. So there's a sense of optimism. It's definitely going to be a tough schedule. You know, you look at the games, they have to play Alabama, which maybe without Nick Saban isn't quite as daunting, but still going on the road. Tuscaloosa is going on the road. Tuscaloosa, you know, playing the likes of Oklahoma, Missouri, Texas A&M. It's not going to be easy by any means. I think the goal for most fans is to at least get back to a bowl game. That at least puts you a step ahead of what you did this past season. Anything past that is gravy, because it's definitely going to be a transitional type of year and a tough year given that schedule.
Hey, Tyler, really appreciate the time this afternoon. Everybody go give him a follow on X at TylerHead18. 107.5, the game in Columbia. Tyler, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, guys.
Tyler Head, one more time from the game in Columbia. And yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I wonder if we are going to maintain, if what the Texas AD said is true a couple of weeks ago, and they are going to the 3-6 mm-hmm. nine-game mm-hmm. conference schedule, are we getting South Carolina as that third permanent opponent to join Alabama and Vanderbilt, or will it be Kentucky? Seems like that is kind of a – I think Tennessee fans would rather have Kentucky just because that rivalry goes back so much further historically. I think the last 20 years or so, those programs have probably been about equal.
Yeah, I think Kentucky's a little better right now, at least more consistent.
I feel like we got a lot of heat with South Carolina right now.
True, yeah. Like I really don't want to lose either of them.
No. Yeah, heat with everybody. Who does Tennessee not have heat with?
We like the beef. We're as a program and a family, we are likes to fight guy.
Outside of Alabama and you know the just permanent feud status, right?
Yeah, I hate him.
Yeah, Hatfields and McCoys type stuff.
You've
right there.
Got Kentucky, always feuding.
Can't stand them.
Stoops, just hate them. Missouri, we're feuding with for some reason.
Yep,
it's because they're idiot coach.
Feuding with Ole Miss as long as Kiffin is there.
Yep,
feuding
that's
with Auburn.
That's a long-standing rivalry. I know you think that I go off on that. That weird.
Well, I mean, it's like he said, feuding with Auburn. I mean, that's Bruce a long-standing standing right. Yes, okay. We got the Pearl angle there.
You see, I feel like people my age don't really consider that as big as it used to be.
Sure.
And well,
your generation considers it bigger in basketball than football, and it is now.
I have friends that go to Auburn, but it's not like either team hates each other necessarily anymore because they don't see each other all the time.
I really can't believe – and here's one – I can't believe we haven't brought it up. I mean, Florida?
I mean, 30-year-plus feud with Florida, raging.
GTFO.
Feuding with Beamer and the Gamecocks. Right now,
do not care for Texas A&M in the slightest. I
love
them.
Is Tennessee
them.
Feuding with Mississippi State?
Mississippi State, maybe Arkansas.
Arkansas fans are underrated in annoyingness.
Maybe feuding with them in baseball a little bit because of the Vitello thing.
Yeah, we got that.
Yep.
And there's the whole Tim Corbin thing. Whatever happened there, I'm sure we're going to talk about that, aren't
that's
we?
That's an interesting quote from
we?
Him.
That's not beneath the drive. That story. Did you not see that last night?
Oh, I saw it. I'm regretting not pulling that audio. I might have to redneck radio that thing into the microphone here so we can hear exactly what he said. Stay with us. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in this afternoon, 546-8200. We'll get you caught up. Both Vitello and Corbin with interesting pieces of audio coming out of their respective games last night. We'll hear from the coaches of the Vols and Commodores when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Tyler Head, 107.5, the game in Columbia. Bear, what did you learn?
Tyler thinks South Carolina's beating Tennessee tonight. I can tell you that.
Well, he didn't say that.
He didn't have to say it. I can tell by
that's what you heard.
Yeah. His tone of voice, the way he's talking. Very similar to you do the same thing.
I do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Houston, does Tyler think South Carolina's going to win?
It definitely sounded like it.
Okay. Not crazy.
I mean, he didn't call it, but he definitely had a.
Do I sound like I think Tennessee is going to win?
Yeah, you're very confident, and Tyler was really good at.
These are
talking
two
about the team.
These are the wrong ends of the magnet pushing up against each other, man. I mean, we both can't be right. Somebody's going to lose.
I think this is the two best teams in the conference tonight.
Do you get the sense that
– or playing the best.
You get the sense we're walking into a snake pit or a cockpit, as the case may be tonight?
Hell yeah, you don't?
Oh, I mean, I know. I know. We are. I mean, that place is going to be probably every bit as hostile, if not more hostile, than Alabama was the other night.
I mean, these Hill Jacks put razor blades on chickens. Hell yeah, it's going to be rowdy in there.
3 hours ago, it was announced as a sellout. I do like the fact that the students are out of town, but I could not believe he said this may be the biggest basketball game in the history of that arena.
If that's the way they're approaching
it. Right.
It's important.
I mean, it's a potential number one seed, your arch rival.
I just wonder, are our guys ready? Do they understand? Because I think they understood that they're what they were walking into Saturday night. They know it's Alabama, and we'd beat the crap out of them last time.
I mean, we got so many guys on this team, Russ, that have been there and done this.
But, I mean,
Triple J, Vescovy, Zakai.
I understand.
Adu. We're a very, very salty veteran team.
It's hard to win on the road in college basketball in this league. It just is, and you better be prepared for it. You better be prepared for it.
Well, they've got to have everything blocked out. They can't hear it. You've got to be focused in on your game. And
like the wins at Alabama and Kentucky, I think it is imperative you have a good start tonight.
Yeah.
You don't want to fall behind and just be constantly climbing that hill.
No,
and feed into that crowd early on. Keep them in it.
That and just let them get a little bit of momentum in that defense because they're just so hard to come back against because they play defense so well. We really need to dictate. We don't need to let them dictate the style of the style of play. But the way to do that is you got to make your bunnies.
That first game was hard to watch at times, especially early on when we could have been blowing them out and we're missing point-blank layups.
Why do the analytics disrespect South Carolina so badly?
It's because I think a lot of it has to do with – do you understand that whole luckiest team?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And if we're going off of what we saw here in TBA, then absolutely with all the missed bunnies, like that just doesn't happen.
Well, because the other –
let me tell you where South Carolina's at right now in KenPom. They're 44th overall, okay? That puts them behind such notable – this is South Carolina, the – what are they, 15th in the country right now? 16th, something like that?
I would say something like that. ESPN has
17th. This is why I've lost faith in KenPom.
Second-place team in the SEC. They are 44th nationally on KenPom behind Cincinnati, behind Boise State, behind Washington State, Nevada, New Mexico, Colorado State, Nebraska, TCU, St. John's, Wake, Dayton. I mean, like, these are not great teams. And South Carolina is at 24-5 all the way down there at 44. That just doesn't compute. The same way the analytics love affair with Alabama doesn't really compute to me with the team that plays that little defense and has 10 losses on and still is in the top 10 on the KenPom. I just don't. I think it's a useful tool, and generally speaking, the teams at the top are pretty much all pretty good. But the South Carolina thing is a little bit puzzling.
Well, I mean,
strength of schedule. That's it. They're at 88.
KenPom doesn't measure heart.
You can't measure heart.
Well, you can't. KenPom don't measure heart, Russell. He don't. I don't know. That South Carolina is one of the main reasons why I've kind of gone away from paying attention to KenPom. Because we can watch it. I don't care what the damn numbers say. We've all watched this team play. They beat us, handled us. They're a good basketball team.
Are you guys worried about falling out of the top 20 in KenPom offensive efficiency? We're at 19th right now playing a good South Carolina defensive squad.
No, because we got
I know you don't. You clearly don't care about KenPom anymore. Houston, do you care about KenPom?
No, but I do buy into the offensive and defensive efficiency numbers because of what past champions have done. That said, I also know we have a home date with a pretty poor defensive team on Saturday.
We could fall out of the top 20 and get back
in. Climb right back
in.
That
is exactly what happened the last time, you know. Hang 59 at home, then go up to Rupp and hang 103.
Yep.
Because they play what, Chris?
They play no defense. Well, at least early in the season they didn't. They're getting a little better time to time.
They still gave up over 100 to Arkansas.
Exactly, to Arkansas.
I really thought you were exaggerating before we played them up there.
I told you, man. Not a lick, not a drop when we played up there.
Well, they did that one game at Mississippi State. They went to the hump and locked down pretty good. No?
No, that was Auburn.
Yeah,
Mississippi State hang 89 okay, on them. Well, 89.
Okay, well, they won down there on the Shepherd shot
yes.
at the end.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
but you're right. I think about the Auburn game. Yeah. They played really good, and everybody thought maybe they're kind of the tide is turning a little bit.
I think also that might have been maybe Auburn's not It was good. It was as
the worst
thought.
Shooting night of the.
Yeah, they did. They played pretty bad.
Like outside of that game, and I think Ole Miss was the other one they had at home. They've given up well over 80 to just about everybody.
Auburn did to Kentucky what we did to them last year, where they
meat grinder.
Auburn was on a roll, and Kentucky was limping, and they just figured, oh, this isn't your daddy's Kentucky team coming in here, and we're going to beat them in front of our big crowd and everything, and they didn't lean into it. The same thing happened to us last year. Remember, that was one of the first conference games, and they had had such a bad conference, pre-conference, non-conference portion of their schedule, and we were just we expected to roll over them, and it doesn't happen that way. Not in that series.
Especially that series.
All right, he's back in the leadoff spot again. Phil will get us started on the phones. What's up, Philly?
Where's AW?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Interesting conversation. What was Kim Palmer saying about Florida Atlantic last year?
I can't remember. I want to say that they were actually pretty highly ranked.
At least in offensive efficiency, they were good last year.
I mean, they're 18th in offensive efficiency again at 22-7. A lot of people think Dusty May might be getting the Indiana job.
Yeah, but I'm also seeing that they may very well be on the bubble this year.
That was a game where I felt like we really missed Ziegler the most after his injury, that FAU game.
Well, speaking of Ziegler, Phil, he had a terrible game, maybe his worst game of the season against South Carolina. 2 points in 32 minutes, 0 of 6 from the field, only 3 assists and 2 turnovers, a very un-Ziegler-like performance. You got to think he's a key tonight.
Yeah, and I'd say a dude's a key. He can't miss about 3 or 4 layups like he did last time we played him.
That was all in what, Phil, like the first 3 minutes of that game? He missed like 3 of them, boom, boom, boom.
He wasn't the only one missing layups. They're missing foul shots. Their defense was no good in the game. I mean, South Carolina, wide open threes. I mean, it was a total cluster.
I mean, like the Mississippi State game at the hump, like that was a close game. And they just got God at the hump. But the A&M and South Carolina game, which one do you think was worse?
A&M. The South Carolina is a legitimate team. And they are a type of team to give us problems. Their physicality inside, and their guards are pretty physical. And really, the SEC is more of a finesse league. You really look at it. There's a few teams that play defense, but look at Florida and Alabama last night. I didn't see much defense. Florida was smart, though. They kept Alabama off the three-point line. And if you keep Alabama from shooting threes, there's no way they can win.
At one point late in that game, the announcer said they had only hit like they were like 5 of 20-something.
At one point, I think they were 2 of 19.
No, you're right, Phil. It's us and Auburn about the only teams that really get after it defensively in this league.
Yeah, and there is a possibility there could be a 5-way tie for the SEC championship.
Yeah.
With a crazy tiebreaker because Tennessee, swept Bama, but then we got swept by South Carolina.
Yeah, it'd get weird.
We would only have ourselves to blame.
Is Kentucky involved in that thing too?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
5-way tie, Kentucky.
It's Kentucky.
Split with Kentucky.
Kentucky, Bama, Auburn, South Carolina, Tennessee, all still mathematically alive in this thing. But we're the only ones that control our own destiny. Well, I guess South Carolina does as well, but we can win it outright tonight.
Well, I hope we do. I just don't think we're going to, though, guys.
Oh, Philly.
Come on.
I can't, just act like, I think I hope we beat Alabama every year in football and we get
five and a half point favorites on FanDuel, 70% chance to win on ESPN. What more do you want?
I want to win, really win, instead of a FanDuel or Kim Palm or some other bunch of crap.
Help him out, Houston.
I want to win.
we all want to win, but that's all we have to go on right now.
Has South Carolina ever won an SEC championship regular season?
In anything?
Women's basketball.
They've won a tournament, have they?
They have in baseball, I guess. Not in basketball.
No.
Their national championship in baseball is the only thing they've won in, right? Women's basketball.
They had that.
They've taken it from the year. Lady Vols and took it there, right?
Dawn Staley hasn't won a championship yet.
In 1997, they won the SEC.
Oh, B.J. Mackey and Melvin Watson. That team won the league, Phil.
Really? And they got out of the NCAA tournament in the first game of the tournament.
Yeah, Coppin State. Oh. Yep. Remember
good
that.
Memory,
15-2.
Fired pretty soon after that.
Eddie Fogler. Remember when?
Eddie Fogler was a good coach.
He was. That was Buzz Peterson's great plan, right, Phil? Remember that? He was going to bring Eddie Fogler in to coach the games, and Buzz was just going to do Verizon Wireless commercials.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lamont Paris, if he really wins there, he'll leave South Carolina and go somewhere else. I mean, women's basketball is the number one sport at South Carolina.
Did
he can go back up there to Big Ten where he came from and get one of those jobs up there.
Has Ohio State do they still have an interim?
They do.
I mean, Paris is an Ohio guy, right?
Diebler?
Yeah.
That's his name?
I guess the one thing that would suck for Ohio State fans if they were to hire Lamont Paris is they basically just fired a guy for playing that slow brand of basketball that Lamont Paris plays.
Well, Lamont Paris, he's got that Wisconsin. This guy at Wisconsin is not impressing me too much, and who knows? You think that Wisconsin bring that guy up there?
Yeah, they were number 6 at one point in the polls this year, and they have just gone on a fall, to say the least.
What's happened to Michigan basketball guys after they beat us? They hadn't done anything.
Did you guys see the latest this week about the head trainer?
At Michigan?
Or it may have been strength and conditioning coach. Yeah, at Michigan. Like, there was an incident with Juwan Howard.
Well, that was the rumor a month or so ago was that, they had some sort of physical altercation. And I believe Howard was suspended for a game
because of it. Another point guard has been suspended from playing road games this year because of some kind of academic violation. He can only play home games.
Sounds like Juwan needs some anger management classes.
I've never heard of that.
Violation.
Uh-huh.
Where you can't travel, but you can play at home?
Yes.
Never heard it.
Huh. All Michigan's academic school. That's pretty cool, you know. Well, Harbaugh's gone now. They're going to see how the other half lives now without a great coach. It's like Bammer Jammer is going to see what it's like now. They're going to be human now. And they're not going to get every call now. Now, the only one we got to worry about is UGA because they got it going down there. And I hate it, but it is what it is. So we just got to dream on and hopefully win tonight, but we won't. See?
What's wrong with him?
That's inexcusable.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. Hour number two coming up. Tucker Harlan has your top four at four. We'll try and pick the show up out of the mud there after Phil just murdered it right at the end. Thought he was going to make it out. No. Hour number two of the drive coming up.